From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. A new statewide poll shows Arnold Schwarzenegger's move toward the political center is paying off and that voters like his new multi-billion dollar public works proposal. More from Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers.
Ever since the governor unveiled his $222 billion strategic growth plan, he has staged events up and down the state, mainly on transportation needs. On Wednesday, it was along a corridor of Interstate 80 in Sacramento, where his plan would extend the carpool lanes.
The HOV lanes are winners for California, and they speed up the traffic, they encourage carpooling and also hybrid vehicles, and they improve the air quality, which is so important for our children's health.
Today's new poll from the Public Policy Institute of California found some 68% of those surveyed like what they've heard of the governor's massive infrastructure plan. That, plus his new state budget, which restores billions of dollars in spending, may have helped his job approval numbers, now at 40% in the new poll. That's higher than late last year, but still much lower than January 2005. But while Schwarzenegger continues to push transportation projects, the new poll shows voters may actually care more about school facilities. In fact, when those surveyed were asked to name the state's most pressing problems, education was chosen number one by a full 25% of respondents. Roads and transportation issues came in a distant seventh. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
California is understating the extent of problems at nursing homes. That's the conclusion of a report by the U.S. Government Accountability Office. The report finds that state inspectors undercounted the number of homes with serious deficiencies, but officials with the California Department of Health Services, which regulates nursing homes, say the lower numbers indicate that problems are being detected and corrected earlier before residents are actually harmed. A federal appeals court is scheduled to hear arguments today on behalf of a death row inmate challenging California's lethal injection process. The hearing comes one day after the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear a similar appeal from a Florida inmate. Stephanie Martin reports.
Florida inmate Clarence Hill argues that one of the three drugs used in the lethal injection process has the potential to cause extreme pain. The state of Florida says he won't feel it because the first drug will render him unconscious. In California, death row inmate Michael Morales is using a parallel argument in an attempt to stop his February 21st execution. Morales' attorney Richard Steinken says challenges to lethal injection protocols are being raised around the country.
The prospect that the Supreme Court might begin to consider some of those issues, I think, is very heartening.
The Supreme Court is not being asked to decide whether lethal injection itself is cruel and unusual. Instead, the justices will determine whether an appeals court was wrong to prevent Hill from challenging the lethal injection method. As to whether the Florida case will affect California, Bolt Law School professor Franklin Zimring says, maybe.
It's the sort of thing that might change matters of detail in the administration of lethal injection. It's probably not a real long shadow on lethal injection itself.
Attorneys take up the details of California's lethal injection process today in Michael Morales' case in federal district court in San Jose. For the California Report, I'm Stephanie Martin.
Armed agents of the Mexican government made at least five unauthorized incursions across the U.S. border recently, that according to confidential Homeland Security records obtained by the L.A. Times. One of the incidents happened in the El Cajon area east of San Diego, where U.S. Border Patrol agents saw two armed men in Mexican military uniforms north of the border. It appears the agents were helping drug smugglers escape from police back into Mexico. Mexico's presidential election isn't until July, but the contest is already heating up right here in California. Mexican citizens living abroad are eligible to vote absentee, and in California this week, they got their first taste of the fireworks in a series of debates between representatives from Mexico's three major political parties. KPCC's Adolfo Guzman Lopez has more on the pitch they made to a lunchtime crowd in downtown Los Angeles.
The event attracted political scientists, members of the Mexican Diplomatic Corps, and Mexican immigrant groups. Organizers emphasized this was not a campaign stop. Mexico's Congress bans campaigning and fundraising by its political parties outside the country's borders. But over and over, the politicians talked about their candidate and the issues. Roberta Lajuz, the International Affairs Director for the Institutional Revolutionary Party, talked up candidate Roberto Madrazo.
He is proposing to give much more independence to the Attorney General and to the prosecutor in general at all the federal, state and local levels.
La Juice traded political jabs with a congressman from the left-leaning Party of the Democratic Revolution and a Mexican senator from the conservative National Action Party. The party of current President Vicente Fox joined in the debate. Fox can't run again, which makes the race wide open and the issues hotly contested. This debate ran the gamut. The Mexican economy, relations with Cuba, and what to do about illegal immigration to the U.S. And it comes on the heels of Mexico's effort to encourage millions of its citizens living abroad to cast their ballot for president. According to Armando Vasquez Ramos, coordinator of the California-Mexico Project at Cal State Long Beach, Mexican immigrants here have a stake in what happens in their home country. The government's efforts to get out the vote, he says, are disappointing. For example, the deadline to register was last week.
The time frame allowed for the lack of information, the lack of campaigning for Mexican presidential candidates to be able to have direct contact with the people that will cast a vote for or against them.
Mexican election officials have counted 37,000 requests for absentee ballots so far, mostly from the U.S. That's out of millions of Mexican legal and illegal immigrants in this country who meet the requirements. One of those who did register is L.A. resident Gustavo Santiago Marquez, a Mexican citizen who co-founded an organization for immigrants from the state of Oaxaca.
Yo hablaría de un proceso que de inicio tenía sus limitaciones.
He says the outreach effort was flawed from the start, but 37,000 ballot requests isn't bad, and it speaks to the strength of groups like his to get the word out. Some researchers say getting immigrants to vote in the Mexican elections will stir their involvement in U.S. politics. But Fernando Guerra of Loyola Marymount University disagrees.
Most immigrants come to the United States are going to end up staying in the United States. More importantly, their families stay here. And the issues that are going to impact them most throughout their lives are what happens at the school district, what happens at city council, what happens in the state of California, and what happens in the federal government. And they need to participate. For them to participate means they have to become citizens and U.S. voters. You can't be both.
Mexican citizens who register to vote absentee are due to get their ballots in the next several months, and their mail-in votes must be received in Mexico by July 1st, the day before millions of Mexicans go to the polls to choose their next president. For the California Report, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez in Los Angeles.
That's the California Report for Thursday, January 26th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org. The Stewart Foundation, for coverage of important issues in public education. And the California Endowment, for coverage of healthcare in California.